No, she literally, she read it out to me. She was like, why didn't you just message me?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 124. That means we've done 123 other episodes, at least, of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And heaven knows we're going in circles with beyond belief guests on this podcast.
Right, does that work? What was the first bit?
I'm not going to lie, Sean. They've got some great songs, but the song titles are not that good for puns.
Morgan, you doing this pun thing every week, right? Might be the greatest mistake of your life.
Nice.
But it also, obviously, that works better coming from you, because then you get to say greatest mistake of my life, which, of course, is this week's guest's brand new album, which comes out next Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, this week's podcast guests are Lucas Woodland and Scott Carey of Holding Absence.
Yes. See, seamless. See how seamless that was. But two humans we've seen grow from shy music lovers to exceptional cover story stars. Lucas Woodland returns with his right-hand man, Scott Carey, to give us an honest, inspirational, and very Welsh look into the new reimagined era of Holding Absence ahead of the release of their sophomore studio album The Greatest Mistake of My Life on April 16th through Sharp Tone Records. There's been a lot of changes within the band since the last time Lucas was on, with lineups, changing aesthetic and mad achievements, all of which we'll get into, but wow, it's been a pleasure to follow their journey so far. They've captured a lot of heart since their debut LP in 2019, and I know this is a band you're highly proud of, Sean.
Yes, well, proud of, yeah, because, well, I wasn't going to say this, but it turns out that I'm actually Lucas's dad.
What? Did the results come in now? The DNA tests are in, it's true.
I know we were waiting, but I had them this morning, and it turns out that I am actually Lucas's dad. That's a fact.
Huh?
Don't check it. Don't try and find out. Don't look into it at all.
No.
But yes, as you said, I am very, very proud of my son Lucas and his friend Scott. Despite Scott, after doing this podcast, Scott did this podcast. The next day, he went on Twitter and bigged up another podcast and said, this is the best podcast and best people. So I'd just like to say, as much as I love Scott, also, fuck you, Scott. I can't believe you'd say such a thing after spending an hour with me and Morgan laughing or pretending you were enjoying yourself. I can't believe it. But yes, I am very, very proud and chuffed to bits for Holding Absence. I was lucky enough that their manager, Ryan Richards, sent me a link to the album, which I've listened to a good few times now. And yes, it's got some fantastic songs. So Sean's personal highlight, Celebration song, and Die Alone. Because Lucas's sister also features on that song, and it is absolutely beautiful. What an absolutely talented family. And I'd just like to say, I'm not Lucas's sister's father.
Ooh, a lot of plot twists here. A lot of plot twists.
There is a lot of plot twists.
But I hope, if anyone listening to this has access to edit Wikipedia pages, please put on hold and absence one that Lucas is Sean's son, because it'd be a good laugh, wouldn't it? But as you said, the new album is sounding fantastic. The singles so far have had a great reaction, and we're going to get insights into all these new songs, ditching the black and white filters, the mission to change music fashion, their recent covers of Kerrang and Rock Sound magazine, and even some hot takes on their former band Falling With Style and that South Wales community that all four of us grew up in. It's a very passionate conversation. Great to see everything these guys are doing, and I'm excited to tell their story on this episode of the Sapnin Podcast.
Yeah, well, it's just been absolutely amazing to see a band rise and get to where they are. And we talk of the Kerrang cover, what that was like for them. Videos, looks, photography. Scott's Scott's partner, Bethan, did the photos for the artwork and did the Kerrang shoot as well. So yeah, congratulations to her for that. And yeah, it's just been absolutely amazing watching this band rise. And it's only going to get fucking bigger and better, I believe. So I can't wait for this record to come out. It's going to go fucking topsy-turvy for them, I think. And they're going to be fucking massive, 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 massive. Which is four massives.
Yeah.
Which is very, very big.
That is big. But I feel this is the calm before the storm. But before we get into this conversation and expose all the secrets going on behind the scenes with Hold It Absence, just a quick reminder, if you enjoy listening to myself and Sean ramble to you with a special guest each and every Friday, please head over and have a look at our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. Over there, not only do you help keep this thing running, but you get to be included with our favorite people of all time who have created this magical community, supporting each other, making one another laugh each and every week. But there's a lot of extras as well. There's playlists, bonus podcasts, little Q&As, and things to sink your teeth and ears into to get even more mad content from us. So that's patreon.com/sapnin. And if you could give us a follow on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod, we would very much appreciate you for that as well.
Yes, that's at Sapnin Pod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. And yeah, as Morgan said, please, please, please think about joining our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin, because I've now realised Lucas's mother's probably going to want some child support for all the years I missed out.
That's true. Right, let's get away from that very quickly before you get like the lawyers involved. So this is Hold an Absence on Sapnin Podcast, episode 124.
Fucking tidy. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I wanted to see how long I could do that for, but it could have gone longer. But I didn't want to ruin the old podcast with it being just one breath.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin!
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 Sapnin! Scott, you cheated Morgan in there.
That's good.
So enthusiastic.
I was so excited.
Just had the band get in there.
Yes, welcome to Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my co-host, Scott Carey. This week,
wow.
We have Morgan Richards and Lucas Woodland from the fantastic, amazing Holding Absence.
Does that mean I'm in Holding Absence now? Is that...
You are now, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just twice, guys.
It's a revolving door these days.
So. Yeah,
but yes, Scott and Lucas from Holding Absence join us today.
Yes.
Boys, congratulations on everything so far. In Circles is a banger. The Quran cover is going to be the first of many.
Thank you.
How is life at the moment?
It's good, yes. It's like, to be honest, it's kind of weird having like fun in lockdown and being excited for the future. It's such an alien feeling, you know, but I think it's kind of cool as well because, you know, as most people feel like maybe the pandemic's maybe coming towards the tail end, you know, with the vaccines and stuff. And it's nice for us to know that also on top of that, we got something really optimistic and exciting to look forward to with the album as well. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, obviously we're going to get into so much in this conversation from the album and everything, but like just this last year in particular, has it been weird? Because obviously behind the scenes, you've been working on all the details for the record, getting everything ready and just setting everything up. But now the last few months, busy as ever promoting it, has it been a kind of like weird whirlwind for you guys? Or is it just being like a constant trying to get everything possibly can done?
I suppose it's been... not good timing is the wrong word really, but like we literally like finished recording this days before lockdown happened. So like we were in the studio and we watched the, you know, the Italy conference thing where Boris was like, we're locking down. We watched that in the live room and then it was like, oh bloody hell, we better finish up then. So we like finished recording, came home, lockdown happened. And then since then it's been like, you know, we like had to get it mixed and then we had to like plan all the videos and all the visuals and the launch campaign and all the aspects. Like, so we've kind of had stuff to keep us busy through lockdown, which has been quite nice, you know, compared to how some bands might have had it if they'd maybe released an album just before and then had been like, oh, well, wait a minute, now what are we going to do?
I feel like we're in the middle of the three options. You've got like a band that's just put out an album. So for example, you're looking like Loathe, Boston Manor, Enter Shikari, Biffy Clyro. That's obviously a really rubbish situation. Obviously with us, we're kind of in the middle where we just recorded it, you know, but then there are, I imagine, millions of bands that have written an album during this as well, you know, and have really taken this time. So, you know, I feel like we definitely didn't get the worst situation out of everyone, but, you know, it was kind of weird because we came home, like Scott said, we came home and it was like, right, I don't have anything to do with my time. And normally I would be writing music, but I'm sick of writing music at this particular moment in time. So, so it was weird, but yeah.
Yeah. Did you have to, you said you were there, you were recording when the lockdown came in. Did you have to like rush to finish or was it all just okay and you got it sorted?
It was perfect timing, to be honest. Yeah, literally the day we were supposed to be leaving, I think lockdown was announced for 2 days' time or something, you know? So yeah, we really just about missed out on it.
I mean, it was funny because like obviously that happened and I imagine in a normal circumstance, like on the last day of recording, we all would have like gone for a beers in a pub or something. Mm. But like Dan, the producer, was like, "I gotta go home to my family. So see you later, boys." Yeah. And we were all like, "Oh, all right then, in the van. Let's just go." Like it that last day was like a, "Oh God, what are we heading home to?"
Yeah, what a crazy abrupt ending to when you've like spent like a couple of weeks with somebody and. Yeah, just very strange. But I was working with Dan. How did you guys find it? Would you work with him? Well, I guess you'd work with him again because the songs are fucking super duper. But what's your guys' thoughts on working with Dan and producers and stuff?
Because we worked with Dan on one or two songs on the debut as well in terms of songwriting. So even though he didn't like do any production on the record, we. Oh my God, sorry, I just burped on a podcast. So we already had this relationship. And to be honest, you know, it's no secret that we did have a very tumultuous, turbulent time recording the first album. Obviously, Faisal left the band in the middle of it. We recorded in two separate sit-ins. We were working with a producer that we hadn't done anything with really before in the past as well. And I look back and I do have kind of bittersweet memories of the first album in terms of the recording process.
Okay.
But like, honestly, Dan to record with and to write with and to hang out with is just a dream. He's such a lovely guy. He's so passionate. He really gets us. But I feel like he does bring a different element to us as well. He's obviously an older dude as well, so he kind of has a more mature kind of outlook on things. So, you know, for us, we're just kind of like, don't want to give any spoilers away, but we're like, I don't know why, what on earth would happen for us not to do album three with him already, even now, because it's just, it was so easy, you know?
He really got like the vision, I find, in the sense of like, you know, obviously we're a band, but we're also four individual people who I suppose have like different opinions and different viewpoints on, you know, how things should be done. And like, you know, I would say I want to do guitars this way, and he really got on board and kind of, you know, jumped headfirst into that. And I'm sure like when Lucas was doing vocals, he wanted to do things a certain way, and Dan was like, yep, cool. And he kind of,
I think he'd mediate as well. Yeah, he'd see what Scott wanted to do all the way over there and what I wanted to do all the way over there, and he'd try and find a way of matching and marrying those two things up as well. So it was, yeah, it was a mixture of like containing us to make sure that we're all in the same place, and also allowing us to be expressive as well, you know?
Nice. Yeah, it's fantastic to hear. But like, we've already dived into a bit of the background of the record and stuff. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I know when a band put out a new record, everyone kind of says it's a new chapter, it's a new era. Those words kind of get passed around a little bit. But it does feel like that for Hold and Absence, because as you've already alluded to, there's so many little things and nuances with kind of lineup changes, but the way you're presenting yourselves and changing image and all that really put together. I mean, do you see it as a kind of another side to the band now, or just like a fresh start? How would you describe this Hold and Absence compared to the one people are accustomed to?
It just feels like a new chapter, in all honesty. We've always said that Hold and Absence is bigger than every member, and we've always, everybody who's ever been in the band has really truly understood like the vision of Hold and Absence. And I think that is what purely carried us through those first 4 years, you know, with lineup changes, with the debut album, and all the little hiccups we had along the way. I think people just believed in us, you know, regardless of all the little kind of hiccups we might have had. And I think now it's us showing people this vision that we've had since day one, but in the best version of itself, you know, like the videos are the best they've ever been. The songs are written the best they've ever been, recorded the best they've ever been, you know. And I feel like personally as well, you know, like, as musicians, personally, we're all at our A game now. But like you said, you know, visually, I think that's quite a big thing. The color thing was obviously basically our way of saying like, this is different. We are different, and try and embrace that, you know. And I feel like a lot of people really have as well, which is great.
Nice. Was the color thing and the band look, like, was that always ready to go? Did you always go, right, well, we're going to go from black and white now to in color finally? And yeah the whole dress sense and stuff, is that your guys doing, is that one of you guys, is that you coming together, what caused that?
It was always on the cards, you know. And I think, you know, if you're a musician who takes yourself seriously and views a long game the way that we do, you know, we're already talking about album three, and then I'd love to talk about album four again, you know, and like really kind of, but I think like you'd be naive to not think of the possibilities that you can have with your band, and having something as blatant and obvious as a black and white thing, what is more obvious to do next than to stop doing that altogether and do the exact opposite, you know? But it's been really nice as well. I feel like expressively, you know, like you said about the clothing and stuff, you know, it's been nice to feel like rock and roll a little bit, you know, like me and sometimes I'll look at Scott in a promo shot, and we've been best friends since we were like 12. And I'll be like, there's my man wearing a shirt and some pinstripe trousers. Let's go, you know? And it's cool because it's like, I view me right now and Hold and Absence, Lucas, to be kind of different. But I feel like most of us feel that way. I feel like we feel like better versions of ourselves in the band. So kind of wearing skinny jeans isn't good enough anymore. Like I want to make a scene visually as much as we do musically.
I feel like the dress sense thing as well is like, I remember when we've put out the first album, before we put out the first album, it was always going to color for album two, you know, like that was just like a natural progression. And a lot of bands, like not in a negative way, but a lot of bands kind of, when they do color, it's like a band almost like claims a color these days, you know, like, I guess the best example would be like when the 1975 went from black and white to color, they did the pink thing. And I think we were very aware that we didn't want to like do that. Didn't want to be like, Hold and Absence is now green. But like,
yeah.
I think the like kind of dress sense thing is like something that not a lot of bands in the scene do these days, and it was kind of a way to make ourselves unique without kind of pinholing us into this color thing, you know.
I think an interesting thing on top of that, sorry, just quick, is like we haven't done any shows yet, like as this new thing. So we've been dressing up like, you know, bougie as hell for the last year, but like, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting to think that we can put all this effort into the visuals of the band, but like when touring comes along, like who knows what's gonna happen. Exactly, you know what I mean? But it's nice because like I view it as like a completely separate part of the art and the craft. Is like for this video, I'm wearing clothes. Hell, you know, I'll be straight. Every video and every visual you'll see, I'm wearing t-shirts and trousers that got sent back to ASOS the next day. Straight up. Yeah. But you know, it's like, I think it's important to treat these things like the Kerrang thing. It was like, dude, we ordered so many clothes because it was just like, no way are we not nailing this shoot, you know?
Yeah. So what a good idea though. But that's the thing. But what people don't realize is now there's somebody at ASOS who's gone and probably watched the videos and gone, that jumper's fantastic, I'd like one of them. And they've ordered that jumper, not knowing it might be the one that's been sent back.
I do still, that's the only thing I kept is the Encircles jumper, to be fair. So I'll be rocking that puppy forever. Yeah.
Smart.
But that's such a good idea. I never thought about doing that.
Yeah, keep it to yourselves.
Yeah, keep it to yourselves. Every band in Britain now is going to be well dressed.
The next Raiders photo are going to be Bob head to toe in like Gucci. They'll be able to send back the next day. Ridiculous. He's going to look fucking ridiculous.
But that's the thing, like Scott, as you mentioned, like a lot of bands do claim a colour lately, and the fact that to see you guys kind of take that kind of vintage, almost kind of chic look, you know, it's not really can be compared to a lot of other bands. But like talking about moving away from the black and white, I know you said that that's always kind of been the goal and you know you were going there, but in some aspects as well it must have been quite scary because of how people have come accustomed to seeing you with that kind of light and that kind of just being able to throw a filter on any photo kind of thing to, you know, put online and just that whole aesthetic going on. It must make this change and this chapter feel different for you as well in those terms.
Honestly, from my point of view, and I know from like a photographer Beth's point of view as well, there was no like there was no worry or scaredness. It was so excited to kind of not have like all of our feeds being black and white. And I know it's like obviously it's quite specific kind of visual identity, black and white now, you know, it's you'd know you've seen it hold, if you liked Hold an Absence, you'd know it was a Hold an Absence photo if it was a black and white in your feed. But it's just like so limiting in how you can convey emotion in a photo, you know, like it was just hard to kind of keep that up in an interesting way, I think. So I think that's why when, you know, we talked about it, it was just always, yeah, of course, like we're going to go color now because that's the next sort of step in being able to like add more emotion into what we're doing, you know, and kind of convey how we're feeling a bit better.
I think on a sentimental level as well, you know, when I look back at black and white photos of myself now, I feel like I'm looking back at a different person. And you know, the hair color change, it sounds really stupid, but obviously it was inspired by Gerard Way. But like, it really is just like, blonde Lucas is that crazy little kid who started gigging, you know, around Europe and lived all these experiences. And I look back and like, he just feels like a different guy now, you know? And it's really cool because black and white Hold an Absence and now Hold an Absence, they do feel different. And I think subconsciously we do have like a really nice line in the sand now, which is great.
Yeah, I was thinking a couple of months back about before you'd like released any new photos or whatever. And I was just thinking that the scene, the rock scene kind of needs, you guys are going to be too young for this. Here's old Sean. I just remember 18 Visions turning up and they were like in the middle of these playing these hardcore festivals and stuff, and all of a sudden they were like wearing suits and like fucking shirt and tie and stuff, and that literally changed the landscape. Loads of people started doing it then. Like I saw, you know, like I saw like Funeral for a Friend started doing suits and shirts. Right. Shirts and stuff.
Yeah. We've seen that little bow tie combo.
A little red tie or It's but yeah, that's the thing. And I feel like that's what this might lead to now, hopefully.
Well,
is
the whole dress sense thing was it was influenced by kind of, you know, bands from like I've been very conscious not to be like, you know, 80s, but like essentially when we wrote Beyond Belief, it was like, that was a song that had such a strong identity in itself. It was almost like, oh, you can see how we dress if when we played this song. And, you know, like, do you know what I mean? It was like that song kind of brought with it this, you know, the influence of like The Cure and The Smiths and all those kind of, you know, like new wave bands from the 80s. It just brought this visual identity with it, really.
It's funny as well, because, sorry to jump in, but like back when we used to do reference photos for the black and white vibe, we would reference Joy Division, we would reference The Cure, we would reference like countless bands of this kind of era. And it's funny now because we're using the exact same bands as reference, but just the clothes that they're wearing rather than the black and white vibe, you know? So, and it's cool because like, it doesn't feel like overtly different, really. It just feels, even though it is incredibly different, you know?
That's the thing with the record as well. I'm talking about The Greatest Mistake of My Life comes out April 16th. It's the second record you've done, being released on Sharptone. But like, Lucas, you mentioned the first time you came on the podcast. I think the kind of general theme of our conversation then was that the whole pressure and excitement of finally putting out a record is something you'd always wanted to have done. And looking back on the last 2 years now, do you feel that this time around has been like even more pressure? Do you feel like you've had to like step up in many ways because now the band have different responsibilities and kind of an expectation to some level?
It's really interesting because like it is truly just the complete opposite. The first album was riddled with stress and just countless problems. And, you know, as a person, I'm very within my own head a lot of the time. I think about things and we all spend a lot of time doubting and questioning things. And to be honest, that first album was literally built around pressure, really, on ourselves, on the fact that we were signed to a label, on the fact that people cared about us and we didn't want to let them down for the first time in our lives, you know? That's a lot of pressure. And I feel like this album, honestly, it was just like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Let's just do what we want and write the best version of it. I kind of feel like this album isn't, you know, like somebody asked me the other day, what's different between these two albums? And all I can say is it's just, this is so much better. We didn't try and do anything crazy different. It's like the last song in the album is longer than Wilt, which was 6.5 minutes long. You know, like the intro song is even more epic than the last intro song. I just think like this time we were just like, look, we know what we're doing. We're good at what we do. Let's just remove all of that extra baggage and just do it the best we can. And man, I'll never write another album under pressure again because the difference is just day and night. I feel so, even listening back to these songs now, you know, I listen to different songs and I'm sure Scott's the same, or even with you, Sean, you know, like you have this weird, or even more like listening to music. Like I remember the first time I heard this song, Walking Down the Street, and every time I listen back to it, I remember recording this song and I remember where I was in the room as I did it, right? You know, whereas the first album, it's just a cloud of just stress, really. And like, you know, and I'm so glad that that's kind of behind us now.
Good. Yeah. And I'm glad this wasn't a stress, and I'm glad that things are a bit easier at the moment. In Circles came out. It depends when this comes out, I suppose, doesn't it, really? Bugger. But as we're recording this, it came out, 2 weeks ago, if that?
No,
it was really recent.
It was like 4 days ago.
Was it 4 days ago?
You just listened to it two weeks worth of time.
No, so. It must be. I got to get other hobbies. Strange. But yeah, the feedback has been amazing. And obviously the video's fantastically well shot. Where did the idea for the video come along? Was that Bethan again then that was involved in shooting that?
So the video was shot by Zach Pinchin. And we've worked with him loads in the past, but this was the first video on this campaign he did. And the idea for the song, you know, like, myself and Scott, when we wrote this song, it was very much like we were writing the song about the vibe. The song kind of existed because of the vibe of the lyrics, you know? So the song was about going on in circles and circles, and we kind of wanted the song to have this kind of monotonous vibe to it, I guess. And with the video, it was like, basically, that monotony kind of seeped into this idea that I had where, like, whenever I feel depressed or I need a little bit of headspace, I'll go for a walk to Cardiff Bay and back, because it's just something I've done since I was like a teenager. And one day I thought to myself, like, I've walked this road every hour of the day at least once, you know, whether it was 2 a.m. or 6 a.m. And I just had this image of just like how different my life would have looked every time I'd walked that road. And then we kind of had the idea of doing the same shot, but chopping it at different times of the day. So because that film, that video was filmed in one day, over 14 hours, which is long as hell, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It could have been weeks, you know, because it does look so different on every shot, you know. And that was kind of the vibe, was to just push home this idea of like monotony. And my character towards the end kind of breaks out and then snaps back into just walking again. And that's kind of what the lyrics are about as well, is like kind of realizing just how unaspirational life is. And like I said as well, you know, I think Scott did a brilliant job with that song as well, in just terms of like the song just feeling like a loop, you know, in a really cool way though.
I remember when we were writing it, like came up with like the verse idea, and like you were walking around the room kind of singing the, you know, In Circles line. And then I remember we, like after a conversation, we were like, oh, like when we write songs, we always try and make things like as interesting and different as possible. So like we've never reused like a chord sequence for like the chorus in the verse. And then we were like talking about it. And I was like, oh, well, what if this song is just, you know, an entire, like a circle, essentially, like the chord sequence is the same all the way through. The drums are like essentially a loop all the way through. And yeah, and like, it just sort of seemed really fitting for us to do this kind of, you know, monotonous song really, with those lyrics. But it just ended up being like one of my favorites on the album anyway. It just kind of took on its own personality.
And going back to the title and the overall like theme for this record, it seems that like the whole concept was decided and ready for such a long time ago. I believe, like, Lucas, you actually wore a shirt with the title out on the last show you guys played in London Scala. I mean, how far back did you have everything ready for this record? Was it like kind of in some aspects something you'd leaded up to for quite a while, that you knew this was where you're going to take the band?
Yeah, so I've told this story quite a few times now, but like basically my nan flippantly mentioned in passing to me one day that my great uncle did a cover of a song once upon a time, and that song was The Greatest Mistake of My Life. And I just remember thinking it was a really magical kind of title, and the song seemed like really cool. And to be honest, in keeping with the aesthetic, you know, we said about this timeless vibe. What's more timeless than a song that literally is 80 years old, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of brought the title to Scott, and Scott will have to remind me because I can't remember exactly when it was, but I think it was the As It Is tour.
I thought it was the As It Is tour, but I'm pretty sure it was the Headline 2019 tour, as the record, the first record was coming out.
There we go. So two years ago, yeah. this week.
Damn. That's
yeah.
crazy.
Wow.
And basically, you know, I just said, you know, this song has found itself in my life somehow, and it's really cool. And I was like, I kind of like the idea of naming the album after it. And with Scott, I've learned now an idea is either going to hit or miss. Like, I don't bother. if I don't see that glint in his eye anymore, I just don't even bother pushing shit. But I could just tell, like, straight away, it was the title of the album. And it was really, really cool that we wrote the album backwards, because we knew what the record was called. You know, normally with the debut, man, it was only called Hold and Absence because we couldn't think of anything else to name it. But yeah, so that was an idea that we had for a very long time. And I think it just breathed a real sense of understanding into every song, because we knew what album we were writing for, rather than just writing songs and just hoping that they made the record, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long did the recording process take from start to finish?
6 weeks. We did a week of pre-pro, and then six and a bit weeks in studio.
Dan came down to Cardiff for a week before. So we actually spent a week kind of getting to know the record and kind of tightening all the nuts and bolts with Dan before we actually got into the studio as well, which is something I'd love to do again, because it's kind of like, I don't know, looking up the book on Wikipedia and then reading it. And so you just know a little bit more about what you're doing.
Nice. Yeah. Where did you record then? Were you up with Dan then, or?
No, in Mono Valley in
No, middlefield.
No, middle farm, yeah.
Farm. Middle farm.
Middle farm. Wait, you know what? Let's all just throw different names to students. One might be right. A. Yeah,
middle farm.
Middle farm. Yeah, I believe that's where.
Yeah,
that's where Liam Crombie is from We Are the Ocean at the moment.
Oh, really?
Recording. Oh, nice. That's cool.
Also, while we were there, I found out that I think the 1975 recorded their first EPs there with Pete, the like resident, the guy who like runs the place. Yeah, which is pretty cool.
That's mad. Yeah.
But yeah, going back to like kind of announcing this new era as well, I think I've got to say, because the way you were teasing everything, a lot of fans were so worried at one point. And like, I know the whole thing is you want to get people engaging and guessing what they're going to do and be excited for whatever you announce. But there were some fans like thinking the worst, that you were breaking up and all that.
This was Holden Absence thing.
Yeah. Is it weird to see that though? Like when you put something out and see those reactions, like is like, oh no, maybe we've gone too far with this.
Not to drop our manager Ryan in it, but I'm sure he came up with this was Holden Absence in the sense of we'll put these old photos up and it'll be like, you know, it was an old lineup and it was.
I think it's because
the old era.
Our tagline was "This is Holden Absence," you know, so it was kind of like a play on that. But I think the beast just grew untamed.
We put that first post out, and everyone lost their minds, and we were all like, "Oh my god!" Like, I think the plan was we were going to do like a "This was Holden Absence" post every day up to the run up,
and
we did one of them, and everyone lost their minds, and it was like, "Oh, let's not."
No.
Abort! Ryan, don't post anything else. Stop everything now. Yeah. Everyone thinks we're fucking dying. No!
We all talk on our own personal social media. So we're all getting messages like, oh my God, are you breaking up? And it was just like phones going crazy. And I was like, oh, I can't even say anything.
And we are really hands-on with our fan base as well. So like having like countless messages on Instagram and having to like ignore all of them was like torture. Funnily enough though, back to what you were just saying now, Sean, like, when I posted about James leaving the band, I was like, oh, what a sad day. I'm going to miss you, bro. And like one of my friends, Xander, they thought that James had died. And they messaged me like, whoa. And then they were like, oh, wait, I've just realized that he's not dead. He's just left the band. So,
as we're there, how is new member Ben fitted in? How is that? is there any more information? Literally all I've got is Ben.
Yeah, three layers.
He might just be Ben.
Yeah, the trial by fire.
I don't know a Ben.
His first thing being a Kerrang photo shoot.
Yeah.
But
yeah, poor schmuck walked right in the deep end. Like, his first show with us was the Kerrang pit, like, you know, video. Mm. And then his first promo photos were the Kerrang cover thing. So, like, it's funny because basically, Ben is the old bassist from Falling with Style, which is mine and Scott's old band. So it's funny because, like, It just feels like, you know, on top of that, he's been our best friend, me, Scott and Ash, all of our best friends for the years in between. It just feels really natural. And I think after James left, we just needed certainty. We knew this album was good. We knew we wanted to keep going. And I think trying out somebody who could have been a risk would have just been such a shame. I kind of don't ever want any more lineup changes ever again, you know? So like, so we just thought Ben's one of our best friends. He's an incredibly talented bassist. And this was the thing we said, like, it's more about who would I rather spend 72 hours in a van in the desert in America with than anything, you know? And on top of that, he's a brilliant bassist. And I'm so excited for him to just kind of meet people and, you know, cause it's just, I'm really excited, to be honest. Yeah. So
I wonder if anybody has had a better start in the band than Lucky Ben. That's how he's known us now.
And Rob Trujillo,
hashtag
like,
Lucky Ben.
Oh, Rob Trujillo.
Oh, boys, I will join the band, but you couldn't have the album ready and potentially a Kerrang cover for you.
Get a Kerrang cover and I'll think about it.
Imagine that. Like, you're going to need to be in a major publication before I give you my services. Oh, what about this, Ben? Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, so when did you find out about the Kerrang shoot? Like, when did you find out about the Kerrang cover? How excited were you for that? Because, like, as I know, you've grown up, like, fans of Kerrang and rock and metal.
Seen you on the cover when we were younger.
Yeah, oh.
Big fat Sean, man. Big fat Sean. Yeah,
that's a nice fringe.
He made the mistake of putting me on it once.
Big fringe on the cover as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't tell it was me. It could have been anyone, really. It was just a big yellow helmet.
We found out maybe, I think it was probably about 10 days before. It was a bit of a scramble, to be honest, because obviously, one of the, for the record, I know we spoke about it briefly before, but one of the greatest victories in this fairy tale story isn't the fact that the kids who grew up reading it are on the front cover of it, but the person taking the photo, Beth, is also somebody who's grown up loving music and working hard and loving Kerrang, you know? So I feel like it's a shared victory, really, which is really cool. But yeah, we found out maybe 10 days before and it was just a scramble. We were on that ASOS website like nobody's business. But it's just, it's like as you probably know, it's just incredibly surreal. And, we'll have to do it again with all the boys on the front and hopefully it'll be published as well. That's the next goal. Yeah,
exactly. No, but like when you mentioned Ben and like Beth and like all that connections as well, like it must be weird on some level to see like that whole Falling With Style family now being incorporated to this and just having that kind of just that connection from the way you first kind of started music and getting into this world to see how far you've come and you've still got all these friends beside you and you've reconnected with them and like just have like that love has always been there.
For sure. It's truly special. And I think it's because we're a group of people built around love for each other. We love our mates, you know what I mean? And why on earth wouldn't we want these people to share this journey with us? And on top of that as well, the only person in the band right now who wasn't in Falling With Style is Ash, who filled in on Falling With Style's last tour because Tom, our actual drummer, broke his hand. So Ash, so once upon a time, there was a tour where it was literally everybody involved like playing shows. So it's been something, so that was 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago.
I've just realized that you can make double bubble boys. Falling With Style needs to open for Olden Absence.
I don't think we haven't toyed around with something like that.
Ryan, I've got an idea.
Also, like on that topic, it's like, we've got this previous relationship and, we've all been friends for years and we've worked together for years, but also it just happens to be that like Ben is just the best bassist we know, So like, it's not like there was anyone who was better than this guy that we used to play in a band. And like, same with Beth that, she worked with Falling With Style when we were younger, but she's, she's just like the best in the game at the moment. And we'd be stupid not to use it.
100%.
Regardless of if we've worked with her in the past or who she is or whatever, So.
Yeah. Well, as we were talking about prior to, just before we started recording, as soon as I found out Beth had taken the Kerrang shoot, I'd lost all my ability to think, and I emailed. I went for the classic 1995 email. And I emailed her saying, unbelievable.
I think she'd post next.
he tried to send the fax, but he couldn't find the machine.
She didn't see the smoke signals. She didn't see the smoke signals I was sending her. That's crazy. I just think you've all done such a fantastic job, and especially like that Kerrang piece. I think she's made you look like, I don't know,
way cooler than I am.
Rock star world. No, it's awesome though. It's amazing. I think she's done a fantastic job, and I know. My band Raiders were meant to shoot with her prior to the lockdown, and we hope we still can when this is over. And
I'm sure she'll have you back.
Too much. I don't know now, is it? Kerrang cover photographer.
I think
you'll find us $200,000 now so we can look at your faces, boys. I don't know how photography works, as you can tell, but she's done a fantastic job. You must all be super, super, super proud of her seeing coming on as well, because like you said, she's been there since the beginning. So
of course, yeah,
it's amazing.
Definitely. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to mention was fucking Sirius XM. Wow.
Yeah.
You boys are fucking absolutely killing it on the American radio. That's amazing.
Honestly, man. Like I saw that personally, and like, obviously, because we're not from America, I was like, is this a big deal?
I saw it and cool, I went, what? I saw it and I got angry that I've never been on Sirius XM. That's how good it is.
That's amazing, then.
Stoked
on that, yeah. But for the record, it is fucking mental. And because I remember we saw a statistic where it was like, at one point we'd had, I think at one point we were the most streamed song of the month. Like, we were above Animals by Architects at one point.
Wow.
So which was crazy, you know, and it's really cool because it's like, you know, we don't write music for the radio. We write music for people to, you know, and this is the thing. And this is why I always try and, it's not like I try and sell Holden Absence to people, but I just think what we try and do is so pure because it's like, we write bangers, cool, but underneath that, there's a depth to it. And the fact that anybody could have found us on the radio and then gone home and listened to the album and like felt something, like that is the goal to me. It's like, and I've always said this and I'll always say this, success is wicked because it means that more people can discover our band and hopefully have our music be a positive input on their life. And that's wicked, man. So on that note, you know, Sirius playing us so much is the coolest thing on earth.
Definitely. It's like, I think the special thing about this band is that, like, we, you know, trends come and go, but we've always tried to kind of do what we love and also, like Lucas said, connect with people. So it's just really nice to think that there's people that, you know, who's never even like laid eyes on us in person that like wanna hear these songs that we're just like writing in our bedrooms, essentially.
Like some dude in a truck listened to Afterlife driving through like San Diego. Sorry, like, you gotta be like, yeah. And that guy is very different to me, you know? And that's so cool.
I love the idea of those people who have been traveling down Route 66 listening to you guys on Sirius XM tune into this podcast and go, what the fuck? There's four Welsh people talking about our band. What's going on? What's going on? He didn't realise that he sings in his second language.
That's
awesome.
But like, I mean, look, you mentioned there about trying to keep Holden Absence timeless and just like the connection with everyone. And I think, you know, today in music, it is so easy to kind of go into trends and see what everyone else is doing. What's the flavour of the week, of the month, or whatever. So, like, is there any little things in particular when you're writing these songs or you're laying down lyrics or anything that you try to keep that kind of wholesome level to be on it, to be, have that connection forever and not look back at it in like say 5 years time and wish you'd done something different?
I really think from a songwriting perspective anyway, the thing that I look for most when we're writing is like, does it make you feel something? Because music that I listen to, you know, I love everything. Like the new Justin Bieber album is fantastic because I listen to those songs and genuinely, like, some of those songs make me like, you know, really like feel like emotional and feel good. Do you know what I mean? Like it really brings a sense of euphoria. So yeah, when we're writing, as long as it feel like makes me feel something, that's, you know, the check mark that's like, oh, okay, this could be a Holden Absence song. Whereas like, I know we've had kind of demos in the past where it's just been like, oh, you know, this is like cool. But like, it's just not Holden Absence. It just doesn't like feel like it could be a song that someone could be like crying along to at one of our shows, you know, and like a song that Lucas could like pour his heart into at the end of the day with his lyrics.
So, I think like, on top of that as well is the fact that like, you know, I think like sincerity is timeless. Like we are talking really, when you think about it, about some sonic construct that is popular now and might not be popular in 10 years time, but people have been emotional and people have been sad and people have been hopeful for centuries. And, you know, and I think that's, to me, that's the real thing that I look for is like, as long as I'm being real with myself and real about the way I've felt in my life and real about the way that I'd like to encourage people to feel, like that will never grow old. That sentiment will never grow timeless. Maybe metalcore will come out of, you know, will not be cool in 20 years time, you know, but like,
we'll
you
be
know,
an electro pop band by then anyway.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so I just, you know, to answer the question, I think as long as, and to be honest, me and Scott kind of give the same answer. As long as it feels real, I think that's enough, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And especially when, you know, getting caught up in all that, I mean, then seeing fans react to it and messages and just like even tattoos over the years, because, you know, there's been plenty of people posted about Holden Absence and the moths they've had on and just your lyrics in general, Lucas, and everything. It must, in a way, make it all worthwhile and just be proud than ever that you are making a connection between the music and the listener.
That is one of the biggest things is the, you know, I did an interview the other week and someone said, do you feel like you owe people anything? And I said, like, as a musician, no, but as somebody who has influenced people's lives and, you know, people have tattoos and stuff, like, yeah, I feel like I'm responsible for how this band is now for the next decade or whatever, you know? And if we start selling out and stop being real, I'll be so disappointed, because like those people put a lot of trust and faith into us. And that's the biggest sentiment you could possibly give someone, is like, I believe in you so much that you're going to be a part of me forever, you know? And I think it's our duty to do right by those people, really.
Yeah, man, it'd be so easy for us to like, you know, go and like co-write 12 songs with like some amazing like people and come out with 12 radio bangers and have them play on, you know, these top radio stations all day, every day. But like at the end of the day, like it would just feel soulless. And I think the thing that, yeah, like you said, that we have is just that connection with people. And like, that'll just be the number one thing going, you know, through all of our music forever.
Yeah. Well, I've said plenty of times on this podcast that, a big factor of me getting back into rock after like taking like 5 years off, well, I guess the Blackout split up 6 years ago.
Bloody hell.
And I basically took 4 years off of whinging and pitying and thinking all music had ended and there'd never be any good bands again. And then Ryan Richards invited me along to see you guys play in the Globe. And it literally changed my entire outlook.
Wow. Oh, bro, that's pretty cool. Thank you, man.
I genuinely, when I was in that room and I told Ryan that night, I hadn't felt a crowd respond like that to a band since back in like the Funeral and Kids in Glass Houses days, and like seeing, like getting to go to the Globe and just seeing that community and everybody fucking loved you and they sang every word, and I was like, oh, so there is stuff going on. It's just I've been such a miserable twat that I missed it, and then all of a sudden I was just amazed and honored to be in the presence of that happening again, and you guys are just going from strength to strength, and it's absolutely, absolutely amazing to see, and I love it. And you've always been top chaps, and
thank you very much.
I'm just absolutely chuffed for you, boys.
Well, it's nice to be able to, like, you know, reciprocate that feeling, because like I know Lucas will share the sentiment, but like obviously back in the day, us growing up being like 15-year-old kids, like we were like in love with the Blackout, and
that's not why I did this. Scott, I don't want it.
Fallen With Salsa obviously supported the Blackout in Ponty. And like I don't even know what year, but it's just nice to be able to kind of, you know, like
to relate it in less of a bumlicky way. You know, we are products of the UK music scene as people. And like you said about Funeral and Kids and the Blackout, you know, it's like we remember the way those bands made us feel. And I think that is, once again, that duty, responsibility we feel is like, if any kid feels the way I felt watching Holden Absence, the way I felt watching bands growing up, you know, it's like, I know how much pressure and how special that is, you know? So like, and I, once again, back to the kind of responsibility side of being a musician, is like, that's such a duty and it's such an honor as well, which is really cool.
Yeah. No, beautiful.
I think that made sense.
Yeah. No, but it's just beautiful to see the passion you guys have for everything in particular, and just to see how far you've come, like over the years and stuff. Because, you know, as we've mentioned, I've been to multiple Falling With Style shows back in the day and see you guys grow and stuff and whatever. So it's lovely to see that you guys are doing all this. But with that in mind, I mean, but like we've mentioned the Crayon cover and all these little things, but like, is there anything else over the time of doing Holden Absence that has just blown you away, that you've been able to do stuff you've always dreamed of or meet people that you never thought you'd get the chance to?
I think sure. Like a lot of our live shows, I don't know about Lucas really, but like sometimes you can like kind of take it for granted, really, like the fact that people pay to come and watch us play these songs live and connect with us, you know, in a room. And pretty much every show, it's always like before the show, we're all messing around and doing whatever. But as soon as you step out on stage and see the people who are like, you know, just really wanting to sort of like let out that emotion for half an hour, 45 minutes, that's always really grounding for me. And I know that's kind of a cliche answer and, you know, seeing playing live, man. But it really does, like for me personally, like it always knocks me back. Like especially in the amount of stages, like size stages we've been able to play and the amount of people we've been able to play to, it really does kind of make you stop and appreciate it all, and you know that we're still able to kind of do something like this, you know.
Nice. Is there a moment you've met somebody or you've been in a scenario where you've just looked around and gone, How am I? What's going on here then? How has this happened?
There was one moment, a couple, it was probably about, oh my God, it was ages ago, actually. we went to this really random like party we got invited to.
While we
were writing with Dan in London, and we were literally on the way to catch the bus, and we got invited to it, and we were like, I'll pop our heads in because it is cool to be invited to the Levi's, you know, official like party thing, whatever. I remember I was stood outside, and it was, and like, I'm awkward as hell. Like, I'm not a sociable guy. Like, so none of these people would have even remembered this, but it was me and Gus and Josh from Yumi at Six and James from Death of Honor stood in like a circle for like a minute. And I was just like, oh my God, dude, where am I? You know, and I think that's kind of one of the coolest things. It's back to what I said, you know, we really are just children of the scene, and like, you know, people that we grew up seeing on the television, now being able to, like Gus from Young Guns telling me that like it's a cool photo on the front cover of Kerrang. I'm like, dude, like think of all the cool photos on front cover of Kerrang you've had, you know what I mean? So like, I think it's just stuff like that. But I'm waiting for the day that we meet, you know, Johnny Depp or whoever the hell else, you know. But other than that, yeah.
A big one for me, not quite Johnny Depp level, but the good old days when Slam Dunk was in Leeds City Centre, and the backstage famously is the Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, fuck that company now. But like, I remember ordering a drink there, and Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World, like,
nice. Oh, nice.
Just like next to me, and was just like, I'll have a pint of Coke or whatever he was having. I was just like, oh wow, I'm this like 23-year-old kid, and like one of my like idols who I've listened to for like 10-15 years is just like there. That was a special moment.
Is his name Jim?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Do you not? Yeah, it's Jim.
Mad, isn't it?
The fuck? It's the world. I don't know if you heard that one. Yeah.
You think he'd be bigger? You think he'd be fatter? He's not. He's quite slim. Imagine, yeah. Boys, I'm going to call the band. Sean likes chips. How do you feel about that, boys? Oh yeah, all right, yeah. Let's just go with it. Put us on.
He likes chips, didn't he?
Yeah, Jim. Really?
You really did eat the world, didn't you, Jim?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like we've had some fantastic, like, you know, people I would think of as rock stars, and when we've had them on, they've told similar stories about being next to their idols, or
it's just
it's amazing to see, and it's a question
ever for me, actually. This is like kind of off topic, but it was when we were in Fallen With Style, right, and we played Download, and I remember I was with Dean Whittaker, right, we were backstage with Dean Whittaker, and we were walking through, and he stops and starts talking to someone he knows, and I, like, you know, was just like in the circle of conversation, but it was he was chatting to someone who he knows, and then the guy with him was Duff McKagan from I was just like, I didn't really know who it was, and then Dean was like, do you know who that was? And I was like, no. And he was like, that's the bassist of Guns N' Roses. And I was like, oh,
Sean, that's your boy, isn't it?
Isn't that your
playing buddy?
That's my what? Yeah, it's my one of my eight stories. That is, I've got eight stories, and Duff is number five, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah. It's just mad. It's mad, isn't it? It's like when we had Simon Neil on from Biffy.
Oh, dude, and I said, oh, for the record, that was a wicked episode.
Oh, thank you.
Because Biffy are one of the best, you know.
Yeah.
I've noticed now, he had long shaggy hair when we did it, and now the boy's got a mullet, so, you know, I'm not accusing him of theft, but he 100% stolen that from me, right? And he's going to have to come on and explain himself. But yeah, he was telling us about, I was like, oh, tell me about a situation where you've looked about and been like, you know, and he was like, oh, I played Crazy Town. He played Crazy Train in front of Ozzy with Slash playing guitar. Oh, and I was like, wow, right, that's fucking unbelievable. But I now think, for me to beat that, I think me joining Crazy Town and singing Butterfly would probably be, that's my new life. I'm going to write it down. New life goal.
Do you know what?
Sing with Crazy Town.
I saw them live once and they got cut off before they could even play Butterfly, and I was fuming.
Whoa! Oh, that is. Imagine being a. You paid 20 quid to go and watch Butterfly, right? And it never comes. Right? The Blackout played in the Melkweg, right? In
I love that venue.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, we were playing the small room, and who's the band that does Hey There Delilah? Plain white tees were playing the big room, right? So we finished early. We ran in to watch like the end of their set, and they played Hey There Delilah, second before last, right? Silly boys. And everybody left.
Oh, no! Oh,
they had another song to go, mind.
Oh, that's
and they started
ballsy,
playing
that,
it, and I was
ballsy.
Like, nobody knows this. People were like, God. Tidy, get the courts in. Let's go. Come on in. I was like, don't play Hey There Delilah there. That's mental.
That's almost as ballsy as Lucas's Pixies story.
Yeah, I went to see the Pixies, and they opened with Where Is My Mind? And I was just like, whoa, that is the craziest big dick swing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. That is... Yeah, that's bonkers. Well, the only other thing I think that reminds me of that is we're like, I've mentioned this so many times, it's probably fucking sick enough for people to listen to the podcast. But when we did that, when I was lucky enough to tour with Limp Bizkit, it's like they would open with whatever song, and you were like, well, that's it. Surely they've got...
Yeah,
oh, no,
they've got more bangers. Yeah,
they've got 15 more songs that if you played any one of those in a rock club, the place would go fucking mad. mental. Absolutely fucking nuts. But
well, while we're talking about weird experiences and stuff, Scott, not to put you on the spot, but I did want to talk about, I saw you tweet before that you had an interaction with the woman who plays Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh, this is a
legend.
Cool story. Yeah.
So I work in a coffee shop where I live, and it just so happens that Jodie Whittaker lives around the corner, so I just see her every day. And we chat.
Wow, does she
TARDIS
in?
You know, she has a driver, and he's really nice.
Ooh.
And
sonic screwdriver.
Honestly,
nice.
So she comes up, and obviously she's wearing a mask or whatever, because like you got to. And like probably about 3 months, I had no idea who she was because she was wearing a mask, and it was just this nice northern lady. And I think she probably quite appreciated that fact that I didn't know who she was, and I, you know, could then just like have normal customer service kind of banter with her. And then eventually then I was like, wait a minute. And then I think I watched that like a bit of a Doctor Who thing on YouTube, and I was like, you know that meme where it's like the all the math symbols, like
Zach Galifianakis,
and
you were like, I recognize those, that nose bridge and eyes.
But since then, I've never like openly been like, I know who you are kind of thing. But like, I've just been like,
I know who you are, wink.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I see her every day. The cast of Sex Education from Netflix.
Oh,
they
I was
around
in an episode of that. I did some extra work.
Oh, legit, actually.
Oh, that's a good thing you want to get into on downtime, mind, with a band,
if you
sign up for extra work.
Yeah.
150 quid a day for standing about. It's better than being in a band.
I thought, just because that sounded like the tee up to a really, really typical Sean Smith joke, you know, like, I was an extra in Sex Education.
No, it genuinely was. Is that the one with the girl who looks like, what Joker's misses his name?
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she looks a bit like Margot Robbie, the girl from Sex Education. We shot it in Port Talbot.
Oh, really?
I'm going too far now.
Cool, though. Just have to drop a CD now when the album comes out and just be like,
honestly, man, she knows about the band. I've dropped that in a few times, and she said she had listened, and she said she really likes it. And that's about it, pretty much. I mean, I'm not sure how much swing she has with like BBC Radio 1 or anything, but
Get you guys to play on an episode of Doctor Who. That's what needs to happen.
Oh, you know what? Like how Coldplay were in Game of Thrones and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, just like you just.
The Red Wedding scene, I'm pretty sure, isn't it?
No way, was a good
one. The Red Wedding scene,
dude. The other crazy one is the Harry Potter like ball. You know, there's like a band playing, and you know, because they've all gone to the ball, right?
Yeah.
That band is Radiohead, fronted by Jarvis Cocker.
That's mad.
That's the craziest. Yeah. That blew my mind. Anyway,
that's the aim. That's the goal for Holden Abstinence, I think, is to get in some kind of movie.
I was just about to say, so yeah, to finish up, what's next for Holden Abstinence? Well, we're going to be in Doctor Who. And that's it. But what is next?
Well, you know, obviously it is a bit of a rubbish time to release an album, to be honest. You know, like I feel like we're in one of the better places out of most bands who've released an album in the pandemic, of course. But yeah, we still do have a couple of months of not really doing anything after the album. So as it stands, we're playing, we're doing a European and UK tour in October and November. Super excited about that. We're doing the Creeper tour at the end of the year in December, which is, I think, the fifth time it's been postponed. So I'd like for that to happen.
Yeah.
I know. And then
that's all we've got announced.
Yeah. But to be honest, you know, like,
Scott have to come in and cut this off? Is that, is
there's another one around there that
say
I don't
say anymore.
There's another one which is kind of, I guess, an open secret, but you know, we've never officially announced.
Emphasis on secret. So yeah. Anyway, but yeah. Otherwise, though, you know, I feel like, just to get my last sales pitch in there, you know, like, we are so proud of this album, and I know Scott and Ash and everybody else in this band, you know, we listen to this album every day. It's like, I'm so proud of it, and I'm just ecstatic for people to listen to it. So to be honest, I'm kind of excited for people to have a couple of months with it, hopefully fall in love with it the way that we have, and then come to the shows, you know, so hopefully it works out for the best, if anything.
Well, I think you have, like, to be honest, I think putting your album out now is probably the best time for it, to be honest, because like you said, give people a couple of months with it, and then they're going to be absolutely fucking busting to come and see you later in the year, and it's going to be absolutely insane, because like, Raiders made the mistake of, when lockdown happened, we had four songs recorded, and like idiots, we were like, oh, let's get them out, people are busting to hear them, this is going to be over in no time. Renowned liar Boris Johnson said this will be gone in no time, this will be fine, get the songs out, and we rushed them out, and now we're just sitting about doing bugger all. So I think you've literally nailed it with us coming out of this now, potentially, hopefully,
fingers crossed,
and yeah with the timing, I think it's perfect. So good luck with it. I say good luck. It's going to do fucking really well, right?
I hope so.
You first. Scott, if it doesn't, you can have Morgan. I don't know what that means, but he's yours.
Thank you.
Do with him what you like, right? He's yours.
It's just that, like, I think we're like really proud of this. And I know, like, bands always say, you know, this is the best music ever, or, you know, whatever you want to say. But, like, we're really, really proud of this. I'm like, it's really good. And like genuinely, from like a listener's, like, I can, like, we recorded this over a year ago, and I can listen to it now as fresh as, you know, as fresh as when we wrote the demos. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
and that's the best sign. That's
genuinely, best, like, sign, so. I really do feel like this is like, you know, kind of a turning point for the band. So I hope that people kind of share the excitement and the enthusiasm around it as we have.
Nice.
Boys, this is the calm before the storm. It's about to go fucking galactic for you now. So please don't forget Sapling Podcast now when you're fucking on Sirius XM. Oh, I can't come on. I've got to go and talk to Howard Stern. Right? I don't want any of that shit. Right? Don't you forget where you fucking come from, bud. Right? But yeah, congratulations on everything.
Yes. Well done, boys.
Congratulations on your future success, which we all know. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the music. Thanks for the time. And yeah, well, just thank you for getting me back into music. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this anyway. So
thank you for having us,
boys. Thank you very much.
And also, thanks for having me back as well. Just a reminder, 2 years since I did that one.
Yeah.
So, like, for you guys as much as anything, that's so fucking sick, man. So appreciate you supporting all the time. You know.
Oh, no, anytime. Thank you so much, guys.
Let's do one every week. the Old in Absence update. Yeah, we should have a section of the show. Old in Absence update. Album's out.
All right.
Thank you very much. That was Old in Absence update this week. But yeah, thank you very much, boys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, speak to you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, bye.
Tidy.
Hey.
Yes, lovely stuff. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
I enjoyed that so much. I turned Mexican then. But yeah, thank you very much to Lucas Woodland, Scott Carey, and the boys in Holding Absence for the music. Good times in the chat. Such a good time to see them. And literally every time we talk to them, they've grown and they're getting bigger and better. So The Greatest Mistake of My Life is out next Friday.
April 16th on Sharp Tone Records.
Nice, on Sharp Tony Records. Who's this Tony and why is he so sharp? Like? I like to think there's one guy in charge of that record label who's just super well dressed.
Ooh.
And that's it. Like, it's just sharp tone, like.
I'm Anthony.
I am, right? And I love suits and that. And I like putting records out by emo bands. Check me out, man. Oh, you should start a record label. Yeah, well, what are we going to call it? I don't know. Well-dressed Tony? No, that's not. It's too... Sharp tone. Job done. There you go. There it is.
Wow. Well, there you go. There's the origin story of the label. But yeah, just great to get an insight from the boys into everything they've been up to. Like, as I mentioned before, there's so many changes within the band, and it's nice to see that. You know, they could easily rest on the laurels and play on the whole black and white thing and make that their whole identity, but they don't want to. They want to try new things, expand both musically, personally, and everything else in between. So The Greatest Mistake of My Life, out April 16th, which is next week, so make sure you pre-order everything as well. But a massive shout out to everyone else involved with the record, from Ryan Richards to Beth Miller, Dan Weller, Sharp Tone, and so many more people behind the scenes. I also wanted to quickly mention that this past week, the band released a short 30-minute documentary on YouTube with Mosh, that's M-O-S, Triple H, nothing to do with the wrestler, that I know the drummer Ash has had a lot of effort into as well, so go and check that out for even more holding absence goodness.
That Mosh company, are they like Mose Def, right? But they love Triple H. Like, are they Mose Triple H? Is that what it is? I wonder if... Anyway, let's move on. That didn't work. But yeah, thanks to the chaps. Well done on everything. You are fucking superstars, and you're going to be superstars. So remember to always be nice, lads, because I forgot that at some point. So honest to God, he will come back and bite you on the ass. So boys, stick to it. Otherwise, you're going to end up on a bloody podcast, and you don't want that. It's too much work. You don't want that, let me tell you. Stay in a band. Be nice to people. Try and keep your bandmates to stay in a band with you for as long as possible. That's my tip to everybody who's currently in a band.
It generally is. That is Sean's tip every single podcast. But as well, if you want to go back and get some thoughts from Baby Lucas around the time they released their first album, well, you can go and listen to episode 15 of Sapling Podcast, where we had him on to talk about the debut release and everything like that. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, please press subscribe wherever platform you've chose, and just check out our whole host of our back catalogue, because there's definitely things you will enjoy.
If you are listening to this for the first time and there's not another podcast, and I don't mean the other Old in Absence podcast, episode 15, if there's not another podcast where there's a band that you like involved, you are a lying bitch. And so you're lying. So check us out. We've got loads of podcasts. 99% of are brilliant. They're all good. I don't know why I said 99%. We haven't put one up that I haven't liked. So, yeah, check it out. And then also, if you enjoy more than three podcasts by Sapnin Podcasts, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Sapnin, to help the boys out and give back. Over there, we've got videos, we've got bonus podcasts, we've got you can join the fantastic group. We do Skype calls with people, Zoom calls, we do Zoom get-togethers with the group now and again. We had one the other day that I popped in and nobody even realised, because they were in the middle of a quiz Morgan was at.
We take quizzes very seriously, Sean. We had to get in the mood for it. But yeah, patreon.com/sapnin to get involved with everything like that. It helps this thing going each and every week, and everyone in that community is our favorite humans of all time, so why don't you come and join the family? If they're too stingy to do that, Sean, because you know what people are like, they can follow us on social media for free though, can't they?
Oh, the very least you can do if you're listening to this is follow at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's the very least. Or go to where you get your podcast from and rate us 5 out of 5. Rate us the top one. I was going to say 5, but no, in my luck, there's one where you can rate out of 10 and some fucking bastard will come along and go, he said 5. Rate us the top mark, please, wherever you can. Subscribe, like, and share where possible. Please, I'm literally begging. Join our Patreon, share our stuff, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and I will love you forever.
He will. He really, will.
Unless you don't want me to love you forever, and then I'll do the opposite of that. Whatever you want, I will do if you do all those things I just asked. Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Wow, okay, right. So before we wrap things up, we'd like to say a massive thank you to our Patreon community. If you head over to the description of this episode, there's loads of names in there. There's fucking loads of them, of these wonderful people that we need to thank. But Sean is now going to read out the elite members. They're the top tiers, and sometimes they change their names, sometimes they don't, but it's a good laugh nonetheless. So Sean, what's happened this week?
Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mikey McDonald's Muffin Buns, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Dilly... Oh, I hiccuped halfway through that then. That's not a name. Dilly Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Kat Besson, Sammy G, Amadine Bano, Shani Meyer Boxer-Lanson, Tony Michael, Justin Dunn, Amy Campion, Murray Grimwood, Jonathan Phillips, Scott Jones, Dan Gies, TJ Was Forrest Gump's Password, One Forrest, One Ambler Shardock. Congratulations on your new job as well, and that joke. Thank you very much to Kate Stevenson, Jenny Munster, Emily Senegals, Enad Note, Becky Andy, Lucy Diaz, John and Emma, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Jenny Robinson, Marcy Jacobson, Sharif Awadali, Jason Heredia, Caroline Robinson, Craig Harris, Carl Pendlebury, Kevin Clark, James McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Livy Cropper, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Chris Howard, Ollie Say Something Naughty Here, Amesbury, Josh, it turns out King Arthur was the first porn star because he came a lot.
Chris, wow.
Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense, because it's Camelot.
Yeah.
As we all know,
yeah.
Right? Anybody who knows anything about mythical kings, right, knows it's Camelot. It's not Camelot, is it?
No.
So, Josh, you've let yourself down and your family. Hey, guys, if you're listening to this and your surname is Crisp, make sure Josh is no longer part of your family by disowning him, because that joke was so bad. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Adam King of the Goths Parslaw, Keris Andrews, Simon Amos, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins. Thank you very much to all those people. Josh, wise up.
I love how we're just calling them out now instead. That's absolutely brilliant. But yeah.
Oh, thank you very, 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 very much to all those people for being part of the Patreon. But also, Josh, wise up.
Oh, but we do. We love them, each and every one of them, very, very, very much. Yeah, is there anything else you would like to mention before we wrap this up, Sean? You're still in the band called Raiders.
Yes, I am still in a band called Raiders. Check out Raiders Band UK on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I guess. No, other than that, we got 4 songs out. Check them out, please, for the love of God. Because unnecessary V's, I reckon that's probably doing very, very badly, because the joke's on me, because I made it impossible to search for. So, yeah, other than that, nothing I can think of. What about you?
No, just if you want to follow me at @mhrichards_ on Twitter and Instagram, just in case anything pops up. Probably busy with this behind the scenes, but apart from that, we'll be back next Friday and every Friday, as always, with another guest for you to have a laugh with us with. Any joke you want to leave on?
Well, we're not going to be at every Friday, are we?
Well,
at some point, at least one of us is going to die. So...
eventually,
unless the world ends before we both die, which means the world ended, so technically we didn't quit, which is what I'd like to see. So anyway, thank you very much if you've got this far. I'm sorry about the depressing ending, but hey, welcome to our lives. Anyway, fucking
Sapnin!
Weird end.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.